In the course of our life, we might have come through a lot of obstacles, many roadblocks in our situations that we go through. Maybe right now we may be going through such kind of obstacles or roadblocks in our lives. There are many ways in which people try to circumvent those roadblocks, but there is a clear path that God gives us. And today, may the Lord enable us to learn some spiritual lessons from His Word as we continue our series on Jordan Crossing. Jordan Crossing. Today, I think it's going to be the fifth sermon. Most of the time, when we think of Jordan Crossing, we think about this specific story. But there are many incidents related to Jordan Crossing. We already meditated earlier to this particular event that has happened that are recorded in the scriptures. And I'm sure we all learned wonderful spiritual lessons from His Word. We serve a God of wonders beyond the galaxy. We sang the song during worship time. If you are not part of it, probably you should keep coming earlier enough so that you wouldn't miss the first song during the worship time, in the corporate worship time. God of wonders beyond the galaxy. You are holy, you are holy. He's a God of wonders, my dear. And He has done wonderful things in our lives, in our personal lives, in our family lives, even in our church lives, as we remember the completion of 3 years since we have been gathering in this particular place. I still remember the first Sunday of the month of May in 2015, the way in which we have prayed about it, and then finally the work was done here, and there was a ribbon cutting that happened when we officially entered into this particular location on the first Sunday of May 2015. We have a God who takes care of us, who took care of us, and He is the one who's not only a help in ages past, but also the hope for years to come. As it is projected on the screen, the theme verse is what the story that we are meditating upon. Now, therefore, arise, cross this Jordan, Joshua chapter 1 and verse 2. Last week also, we meditated from this particular book. But we went through the story where the two spies crossed over Jordan in order to be able to meet that one person, the one sinner for whom God had sent, or for that matter, in this particular story, the Jehovah saves, or Joshua sent two spies in order to be able to enable that one person to be saved. Even for that one person, God really cares. That is what the story we have meditated upon. Today, we are going to continue the story from Joshua chapter 3. Shall we all read this verses together, please, as it is projected, or even in your sermon notes that is there, Joshua 3, verses 3 to 4, all together, please, aloud. And they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way which you must go, for you have not passed this way before. That is how the sermon is titled, The Road Never Taken. You have not passed this way before. The road that was never taken. May the Lord enable us to learn some spiritual lessons. Gracious Father, loving God, Lord, we have come here into your house in order to worship you, in order to give thanks to you, in order to hear your word. Not my words, Lord, not human words. They have no value. But your words have eternal value. The words of eternal life. Lord, won't you speak to us, Lord? Lord, we are going through different obstacles and struggles and challenges in our lives. Through this particular sermon, The Road Never Taken, speak to us, Father. Help us to have an undivided attention to the listening of your holy word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I hope by now you have this picture of Jordan River that descends from Sea of Galilee to the Dead Sea. And that is how it comes down the Jordan River. And Sea of Galilee on the top and the Dead Sea. If you read the entire Bible, keeping this in mind, you will fully understand whether it is the Old Testament or the New Testament, situations have happened in and around this area itself. Most of the biblical stories have occurred in this particular area. There are some which went to the west. There were some who came from the east as well. But primarily, the central location is this part. And Israel on the left and Jordan on the right. The countries of Israel and Jordan on the right are the today's countries. The eastern part of Jordan River is the Jordan, the country of Jordan. And the western part, also there is a disputed area which is called West Bank. I don't know if you have heard about West Bank. You know why it is called West Bank? Because it is the west of the banks of the River Jordan. That's why it's called West Bank. And there are two cities that we are primarily going to look at today, which is Shittim on the east side and Gilgal on the left side. Last week, we meditated on Jericho, which is not too far away from Gilgal. So keep this in mind. On the east side is Shittim, and on the left, on the west side is Gilgal. And these people are going to cross from Shittim to Gilgal. That is a story. That is a geographical picture of what we are going to learn today. You can write down the meanings of these various words for our understanding. Yordan. Yordan means descender, coming down. Descender. The Sea of Galilee and the water flows down. It doesn't go backwards. It goes down into the Dead Sea, from the Sea of Galilee to the Dead Sea. Joshua is a Hebrew word. Yahoshua, Yehovah Shua, means salvation of God, or Jehovah saves. That Joshua or Yahoshua in Greek is also translated as Yasus. Or in other words, in English, it is translated as Jesus, which also means Jehovah saves. It is God, or God the Jehovah, not just God, not just any other God. The I am God, the Jehovah God, who is the one who saves. As I was telling you, Jordan is descending. So this picture, this arrow, shows the flow of water from the Sea of Galilee to the Dead Sea. The Sea of Galilee has an inlet and outlet. Wonderfully, there are thousands or more than, I don't recollect the number of species of fish in the Sea of Galilee. Wonderfully, because there's a flow, inflow and outflow. And that is how the Sea of Galilee is a wonderful place. Maybe we can meditate upon the Sea of Galilee, God willing, sometime later. But here what we are trying to understand is, from the Sea of Galilee, it is being flowing down, descending down. Way too down, the lowest, in terms of the, below the sea level is Dead Sea. And from there it is coming down and lying there. There is no outlet. And that is why it is called Dead Sea. You can't see living creatures there. Even when people visit there, they tend to lie down on it. Because it's a Dead Sea. It has no life as such. Descender. Dead Sea, talking about death. Descending, coming down. And then we see the story today, but that is not just, this is north to south. And the next one we see from west to east. There's another arrow that is going through. There is a flow of river that is going to the depth. Towards the depth it is flowing down. But there is something that is crossing through. The arrow that is going from the west to east. And that is what your picture shows on your sermon slides as well. There is something that is descending down, and there is something that is going west to eastward. If we turn our Bibles to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. Here, it talks about the second level leadership that was so essential to pass on the particular baton from Moses to Joshua. Moses died. If you read the previous book, Deuteronomy chapter 34. And now, God himself speaks to Joshua in verse 2 and says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, cross this Jordan. Now, therefore, take the steps forward. And then he says, cross this Jordan, you and all these people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I will give it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. We read through these verses last week as well. The kind of promises, the kind of commandment that God gave him in verse 9 as well. Have I not commanded you? Joshua, I understand. Moses was taking care of all these people all these years. Now the time has come for you. For you.
Have I not commanded you, be strong? Be strong. It's a commandment. More than a promise, it is a commandment. Be strong and courageous. Sometimes taking it as a promise is one thing, but if it is a commandment, if I disobey the commandment, disobedience to the commandment of God is sin. If the commandment of God says, be strong and courageous, I need to be strong. God, give me the strength to be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. That is a promise. It's a commandment with a promise. The Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, I'm just projecting to verse 11. Altogether shall we all read as it is projected. Chapter 1 and verse 11, all together, please. Pass through the midst of the camp and command the people, prepare your provisions, for within 3 days you are to pass over this Jordan to go in to take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you to possess. In this particular verse, there are 3 words I want us to focus upon. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 11. And you can write it down. As it says here, prepare your provisions, for within 3 days you are to pass over this Jordan to take possession. Write it down in your notes as it is projected here. The 3 words. I'm telling you all the 3 right away because all the 3 are mentioned in one verse. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 11. When God says, now arise, cross this Jordan, there were certain things that were essential in our lives to be able to focus upon. The road never taken. And for that, there are 3 important elements. Prepare, pass over, and possess. You might think about Passover. The Passover, the word, single word Passover, that is when that happened in the land of Egypt. That is called Passover. That is also means Passover, where the angel of death passed over the houses that had the blood on the doorposts. But here we notice that there is something that were given as instructions to these people. Prepare yourselves, pass over, and possess. Now let's go to Joshua chapter 3. They told, for 3 days, prepare yourselves. Keep on preparing. And during this preparation time, Joshua chapter 2 happened. Rahab, how the spies went and shared, and how the way in which she asked herself and her family to be saved. Wonderful story that we have gone through last week. Now the 3 days have come to an end. Joshua chapter 3 and verse 1. Notice this carefully. As I read this, I want each one of us to focus your attention on the reading of God's word. I don't know how God is going to speak to each one of us. Maybe through a verse to one person, through another verse to another person, through a phrase, through a word, I don't know. But may we be very sensitive to the hearing of God's word. Verse 1, then Joshua rose early in the morning. Joshua was an early bird. How many of us wake up early in the morning? Very difficult. Late night? 2 o'clock? 3 o'clock? Okay. But morning? Now, a man of God, the one who has to be able to take up some responsibilities as a child of God, it is very important for us to have the quiet time or early in the morning. What did he do? Is not fully mentioned here. I'm sure he was preparing. The day has come. Joshua, the day has come. Now, to be able to take it forward, he rose up early in the morning. I don't know how much of sleep he had that last night. Moses is not there anymore. He was almost like a shadow, in the shadow of Moses all these years. Now Joshua had to take up the baton in moving forward. He rose early in the morning. Something to learn. You see that? We can stop right there and focus upon that important small phrase called rose up early in the morning. Am I of that kind? Rose up early in the morning. He and all the sons of Israel set out from Shittim and came to the Jordan. From this particular city that I showed you on the map, from that particular city, that Shittim, they moved into close to Jordan. There is something that was going on at Shittim. While they were lodging there, let me tell you, human nature is so much so that while we are lodging and waiting, sometimes we do not really wait upon the Lord.
Let us look at one verse in Numbers chapter 25 and verse 1. Numbers chapter 25 and verse 1. This happened at Shittim. In the journey of life, please read Numbers chapter 25 and verse 1. They played the harlot with the daughters of Moab. They invited the people to the sacrifices of their gods. People ate and bowed down to their gods. Israel joined themselves to the Baal of Peor, and the Lord was angry against Israel. They were in sin at Shittim. They were committing sin at Shittim. In what way? They were not waiting upon the Lord. Though they were saying we are waiting, they probably were not waiting on the Lord. Very important. You might be saying, I'm waiting. What are you doing while you're waiting? What are we doing while you're waiting? I will worship you while I'm waiting. There's a song, wonderful song. What do we do? Most of the time we say, God didn't tell me anything, so I'll be where I am. No. If we are in sin, better come out of it. We need to leave the Shittim where sin was prevalent. Now back to Joshua chapter 3. If I go in this manner, I think it's going to take a while, one verse at a time. Right? So here we notice they set out from Shittim. They set out from Shittim. What does it mean? They had to come out of that nature, what they were doing in the land of Shittim. Verse 2. At the end of 3 days, the officials went through the midst of the camp. Remember Joshua 1:11? For 3 days they were preparing themselves in order to be able to set out. After 3 days they set out. And once they set out, end of the 3 days, this is what notice here. As part of preparation, what were they supposed to do? Verse 3. And they commanded the people saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God. We have meditated upon the covenant of the Lord. The everlasting covenant of the Lord, we have been meditating. What is this Ark of the Covenant? It is not Noah's Ark, okay? The word Ark is a storage space. In Noah's time, it is a huge storage space. That's also called Ark. When it comes to the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, it is around 4x4 or 4x2. I don't recollect the dimensions of it. It is made of the acacia wood covered with gold. And four people were carrying with certain rods on either side. What were there inside the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord? 3 things. The 2 tablets, the 10 commandments. And also there was manna. And the 3rd one, there was an Aaron's rod that was budding. This symbolizes something here. The law, the manna in terms of the provision. And then we see the life that is mentioned at a later point in time. Loaf, in a sense, law, loaf, I mean, manna is really not a loaf sort of thing, but easy to remember, I'm saying. Law, loaf, and life. Those were the 3 within the Ark of the Covenant, which symbolizes the coming Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 17 that Jesus Christ came to fulfill the law. The law, the commandments, which we are not able to follow, or to the extent of the way in which God sent his only begotten son to die for us on the cross of Calvary. And second, the loaf or the bread or the manna. Jesus Christ is the bread of life, the Bible says. In John chapter 6 and other places, it talks about the fact that Jesus Christ is the bread from heaven. And thirdly, Aaron's rod, that was a miracle again, wondrous thing. That Aaron's rod was budding even though there was nothing that it was connected to the ground or to the water or anything. It was budding. Talking about, even if it is a dead stick, it can produce life. Talking about resurrection or life. 3 things that are fulfilled in Jesus Christ. All these 3, now God enabled these people to take it along. Now what does it say in verse 3? When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, your God, with the Levitical priest carrying it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. What should you do? Go to keep on looking down on the things of this world? No. Your eyes should be on the Ark of the Covenant. You don't know when it is going to start moving. Always your eyes should be on the Ark of the Covenant. What is it? You're gazing your eyes. You're having your eyes seeing the Ark of the Covenant, my dear. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Not the things of this world. Not the problems of this world. Not the obstacles of this world. But looking at the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, which is God himself. Looking unto him. The Bible says, look unto me. Look unto Jesus Christ, my dear. Where are your eyes focused upon? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Wonderful song that talks about that. You turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look or see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. And then what does it say in verse 4? However, there shall be between you and it a distance of 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you shall go. The way by which you shall go. That you may know the way by which you shall go. You should know the way. You should know the will of God. And when does that happen? Not when you think, when you look at the things of the world. You will know the way God has given you. You will know the road you have to take only if you have your eyes upon him. Only if you rely upon him, your eyes upon him, meaning my focus, my attention is upon him. I need to seek him and his kingdom first and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Are you thinking about all other things? Are your eyes upon all other things? The Lord is reminding us, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Look at him. Seek him. Because if you look at him, the Bible says, so that you may know the way by which you shall go. For you have not passed this way before. You have not passed this way before. Wonderful. When I was looking at the small phrase, it really reminded me of the fact that, Lord, every day I don't know where I have to go. Every decision I have to make, I don't know what kind of decision I need to make. The road never taken. And he's trying to explain to us as to where or how he wants you and I to be able to move forward with. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 30, please look at it. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21. Please read Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 21. This is the way. This is the way. Walk in it. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice. The Lord wants to speak to you, saying, this is the way. Lord, which way should I go? Those are the questions that you and I might have. He's saying, this road that you have never taken before, you have to take it. This is the way. Walk in it. This is the way. Walk in it. For that, not only should you have your eyes upon him, but also it says in verse 5, it says, then Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves or consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. God of wonders beyond the galaxy. Let me tell you, whether it is Psalm 105 or it is Joshua chapter 3, it is talking about God of wonders. It is not a coincidence that we say that, oh, wonderful, it's so nice that worship, exhortation, and this message is related to that. Even the songs, for that matter, all of them are focusing upon the fact that he is a God of wonders. Do you believe in the God of wonders in your life? Oh, for somebody else it is happening, not for me, brother. God is waiting for certain things that are happening in your life, that should happen in your life. Do not, it says, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Take it. Take it to the heart yourself. Don't, not only the second part of this verse, but the first part, sanctify yourself. So let us note down in our sermon notes, see the ark, sanctify yourselves. What does this sanctification mean? For you to be able to approach the throne of God, for you to be able to have to enter into the throne or the presence of the Lord, you need to be able to have the holiness. The Bible says, without holiness, we cannot see God. Sanctification is essential in our lives. Not only seeing him, but also, Lord, when I see you, the things of this world grow strangely dim. Because I see myself as unholy.
Oh, what a sinful person I am. Take the coal, cleanse my lips. Here I am in the presence of the Lord. When the angels were, cherubims were worshiping, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Isaiah the prophet said, oh, what a wretched sinner I am.
My dear, sanctification is essential. Sanctification is essential. We need to ask the Lord, Lord, is there a shittim in my life? Is there something that I'm doing against you? Am I following the things that I'm not supposed to? Am I doing things that I'm not supposed to? Though outwardly it is told that they are waiting.
But what are they doing while they're waiting? Sinning. The Bible says here they need to sanctify themselves. Asking the Lord for forgiveness and cleansing, that is essential. For you to cross this Jordan River, see the ark of the Lord. That's how you prepare yourself. Sanctify yourself as well.
Then you will see the Lord of wonders he will do in your life. And that is what we see here. And then in verse 6, Joshua spoke to the priest, take up the ark of the covenant and cross over ahead of the people.
Cross over ahead of the people, the ark of the covenant of the Lord to be ahead of you in terms of being able to say, Lord, which direction should I go?
And then we notice, so they took up the ark of the covenant and went ahead of the people. Verse 7, the Lord said to Joshua, this day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of Israel, that they may know, just as I've been with Moses, I will be with you.
If we are obeying the Lord's commandment, if we are humbling ourselves to the extent of being able to say, Lord, it is not me, I don't want to do things of myself, I want to rely upon you early in the morning. I want to come before your presence knowing what your will is for this day in my life. As we humble ourselves and come into his presence, the Bible says, if we humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, he will exalt you. James chapter 5 and verse 10. Therefore, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he will exalt you. That is what here is we see here. Verse 7, this day I will begin to exalt you. God is the one who is exalting Joshua, not people. So that people may know that God is with Joshua.
It says, verse 8, moreover, command the priests who are carrying the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when you come to the edge of the waters of Jordan, you shall stand still in Jordan. Verse 9, listen to this carefully. Then Joshua said to the sons of Israel, come here and hear the words of the Lord your God. Just like we have speak, Lord, I was getting reminded. This is another phrase, if we were to put it. It says, come here and hear the words of the Lord your God.
You're not here to hear words of men. You're not here for any entertainment's sake. You're not here to fulfill an obligation. You are coming here to hear the words of the Lord your God, period. Nothing else. Joshua, he could have said, come, listen to what I'm telling. No, he didn't say that. Come here, hear the words of the Lord your God, period. That is what is important. And then in verse 10, by this you will know that the living God is among you, not a dead God. It is like the Aaron's rod that is budding. By this you will know that the living God is among you, and that he will assuredly dispossess from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, Perizzites, Girgashites, Amorites, and Jebusites. Oh, what is all these sites? How many sites are going on here? In a sense, if you see this picture here, when they were to possess the land, I don't know how clear this is for you, but here if you see the land of Canaan, you have Girgashites, Perizzites, Hivites, Amorites, Kenai, everyone are here. They are all occupied the land. They are the ones who are an abomination to the Lord. Now these people have to cross from Shittim to Gilgal to this land. God is the one who is allowing these people to dispossess these people. Before you possess the land, you need to dispossess. You need to put off something before you put on something. Many times we don't want to put off the things that God doesn't like. We always want to put on, Lord, what can you give me? What can I wear? What can I wear? Just get rid of the things that you have. Dispossess in order to possess. Dispossess in order to possess. Very important. What are the things that are abomination to the Lord? They're doomed for destruction. They have to be dispossessed. And that is what we see here. That it says in verse 11, behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth
Wonderful. Another small phrase about Lord of all the earth. The living God in verse 10 and in verse 11, the Lord of all the earth.
The ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth is crossing over ahead of you into the Jordan.
Remember, the road never taken, God is the one who is going ahead of you. He's crossing ahead of you. What a wonderful, wonderful comfort and consolation it is. Lord, I don't know this road. I don't know what is going to happen. I don't know this new chapter in my life. Lord, I don't know this new marriage chapter in my life, new job chapter in my life, new situations in my life, a new day in my life. Lord, what do I do now?
The Bible says in verse 11, behold. You know what the word behold means?
See. As simple as that. See, behold.
Behold, the ark of the covenant, the Lord of all the earth, is crossing over ahead of you into the Jordan.
And then you have to choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. It shall come about, verse 13, notice this carefully. It shall come about when the soles of the feet of the priests who carry the ark of the Lord of all the earth, rest in the waters of the Jordan. The waters of the Jordan will be cut off, and the waters which are flowing down from above will stand in one heap.
So when the people set out from their tents to cross the Jordan with the priests carrying the ark of the covenant of the Lord, those who carried the ark came into the Jordan. Verse 15, notice this carefully. And the feet of the priests carrying the ark were dipped in the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflows all its banks all the days of the harvest. This was the time of harvest. This was not a simple river that is slowly, very still. The water is really descending down. And especially in the harvest, it comes very fast. The flow of Jordan River is not simple. I don't know if any of you have gone river rafting. It is not easy. And these people didn't have any boats or anything for them to cross. This was a heavy obstacle in front of them. A continuous gushing flow of Jordan River ahead of them.
So now what we notice here is, the moment the feet of the priests of peace carrying the ark were dipped in the edge of the water, verse 16, the waters which were flowing down from above stood and rose up one heap a great distance away from Adam, the city which is beside Zarethan, and those which were flowing down toward the sea of the Arabah, the Salt Sea or the Dead Sea, were completely cut off. So the people crossed opposite Jericho.
Verse 17, the priests who carried the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan, while all the Israel crossed on dry ground until all the nation had finished crossing the Jordan.
Note down in your sermon notes, as part of Passover, set your feet wet. Stand firm on dry ground. Two important things. Set your feet wet. Verse 15. And those who carried the ark came into the Jordan, and the feet of the priests carrying the ark were dipped into the edge of the waters. Right at the edge of the waters, it's like as simple as this here. This picture, getting their feet wet. Oh, it's all dirty water. Why should I step my foot on that water? No. For you to go on the dry ground, you need to step foot on the wet waters. Many times, we want dry ground experience. Lord, I want to walk through the dry ground. But what is it told of them? Set your feet wet.
You might have a lot of questions. Oh, last time, what happened? Moses, he hit the Red Sea with his stick, right? Can't we do that?
No, God's ways are different. For generation to generation, his methods are different. His principles are, obey my commandment. But his methods could vary. His pattern could vary. In this particular situation, God specifically said, get your feet wet.
Oh God, I'm waiting. I'm waiting for the dry ground. Can I go on the dry ground? Can you let me pass through this heavy obstacle of Jordan River ahead of me?
And the word of God says, take the first step of faith.
Oh God, no, 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 I want dry ground. What wet feet and all that?
Maybe that is a struggle that is going on between you and God right now. You are saying, I'm waiting upon the Lord. But God is saying, I'm waiting upon you to take that step forward. Take that step forward. Get your feet wet. That is the voice of the Lord you need to hear, my dear. Many times we want to think about the destination, but the process, the Passover experiences, take your first step. Maybe you're not taking the first step. And you're saying, I'm waiting. Maybe we are in places like Shittim, still saying, I'm waiting. Get your feet wet. In other words, take the first step. When you get into the first step, that is when the Bible says, the way in which the miracle has happened, that God made sure that such a strong flow of water, he obstructed like a dam. That was a wondrous thing that God had done. In the Red Sea, it was a different story. He had to part them. See, in the middle of the sea, it may not be very gushing waters. Only at the shore, there is a lot of gushing of waters. But this river is a continuous flowing of rivers. To stop something that is flowing down, it's not easy. That's a great miracle that God has allowed to happen. But God wants to use you in order to fulfill his wonders in our lives. Are you taking that first step? What is that first step that you need to take? Maybe you're saying, Lord, I don't know. I doubt this free flowing of water and all that. I want to see that dry ground and then only I'm going to walk in that. Many times, maybe that is a struggle that we are going through. May the Lord enable us to hear the voice, to be able to take the right step forward. It is a step of faith. You know what faith is? Faith is the substance of things, hope for evidence of things not seen. They haven't seen the dry ground. They haven't been on this road before. But by faith, they obeyed the commandment of the Lord and said, Lord, I'm going to take this step forward. You help me out. The moment they put their step forward, that is where they were able to see the wondrous thing. And the Bible says in verse 17, all Israel crossed on dry ground while the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on the dry ground. Stood firm on the dry ground to be able to know, Lord, I am firm in the faith that you have given me. I am setting my foot. And these priests had to hold on. By faith, they have to hold on to the ark of the covenant of the Lord till such time the last person is going to cross the Jordan River. God is with us throughout our journey. Before and after also. Because each person is passing by, they're able to pass by the ark of the covenant of the Lord. He stopped the flow of waters into death. He stopped it so that these people may cross over into life. If at all this particular flow of water hadn't happened, these people may have been gushed into the Dead Sea. Such a forceful water that could have pushed them into Dead Sea. But God made a way where there seemed to be no way, where God allowed a dry ground for them to pass so that they will not be affected by the descender. Into the dead, they were able to cross over. There are many spiritual lessons that we can learn from this particular story. Even in chapter 4, just to quickly go through, when all the nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord spoke to Joshua saying, take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one from each tribe, and command them saying, take up yourselves 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan. Take 12 stones from there. And then Joshua called them. And each one, they are not small stones where, you know, it's not like the 7 stones that people play. No, they're not like the 12 stones, remember. They are not the small stones that, okay, I'll put it in my pocket and take it over. No, why? It says in verse 5, cross again to the ark of the Lord. They crossed by. They were told to come back on the dry ground, to come back to the ark of the covenant. Into the middle of the Jordan, each of you take up a stone on his shoulder. They can't take a small thing and put it on the shoulder. It must be really big, huge stone they had to carry across. They were obedient, my dear. Why? They had to bring it. And it says, let this be a sign among you. The 12 stones are like a sign among you. So that when your children ask later, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall say to them, because the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. That is why they had to bring the 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan where the ark of the covenant of the Lord is. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off So these stones shall become a memorial to the sons of Israel forever. So please note it down. The third and the final thing that we want to note down here is stones as sign, and you share it as a memorial. Take the stones, but not to worship those stones, but they are just a symbolism. The 12 stones, from one from each tribe, bring it over, bring it out, and then you need to set it up. And when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? Parents, it's very important for us to be able to teach our children in order to let them ask questions to you. Many times, they are so busy, we are so busy, there is no conversation at all saying, what does these stones mean? What is this? What is, why is this, all these verses here? Why is this? You need to give them an opportunity to ask questions to us. We need to spend time with our children, in other words. In such a manner, the conversation goes to the extent of them asking us questions. What do these stones mean? What do you tell? Oh, this one, we've just brought it as a symbol. Oh, it's just as a showpiece. How is it? No! Tell them clearly. You need to be able to be articulate. Parents, don't think that, oh, I'm not a preacher. I'm not, I cannot tell it. It's your responsibility to tell your children what the Lord has done wonders in your life. Only then it can pass on to generation after generation. There were 12 stones that were put in the middle of the Jordan, and 12 stones were brought out of Jordan, and they were kept in a place called Gilgal. The word Gilgal, if you read chapter 5, the word Gilgal means reproach. Reproach. Chapter 5, verse 9, it says, then the Lord said to Joshua, today I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. So the name of that place is called Gilgal. From Shittim to Gilgal, they have come over in order to be able to see the wondrous things of God. Micah, it may be difficult for you to search for that book, Micah. If you can open it. There is one verse that I want us to look at. Micah 6:5. My people, remember now what Balak, king of Moab, counseled, what Balaam, son of Beor, answered him, and from Shittim to Gilgal, so that you might know the righteous acts of the Lord. From Shittim to Gilgal, so that you may know the righteous acts of the Lord. God is reminding, after so many years, to be able to remember this journey from Shittim to Gilgal, the crossing of Jordan. The Shittim to Gilgal experience is needed for each one of us, my dear. Each one of us have to remember. And when they went into and possessed the land, they put the stones as a sign, share it as a memorial, and they have celebrated Passover as well. In Joshua chapter 5 and verse 10 says, they celebrated Passover, once again reinitiated. And then, notice this small picture that is there. They have occupied the entire land of Canaan. Actually, into the east also they went ahead and occupied 2.5 tribes, Reuben, Gad, and a half of Manasseh. They occupied on this side also. Now they have occupied the land, the promised land. Each one were given the land except Levi, because God himself was their possession. And Joseph's sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, were able to get the different land possessions as well. This is how the Lord enabled them to cross the Jordan. There are many truths that we can learn, my dear. I just want you to take a look at the small picture. I just tried to narrow that picture, reminding us of the cross. There is something that is descending, and there is something that is crossing through in order to be able to enable each one of us to have an experience with God. To an experience where death, kind of an experience that was going on, Jesus took up the death on the cross of Calvary. So that you and I may cross from death to life. The death to life experience also can be reminded of through this particular story. Not only physical death to life, but also spiritual death to life. John chapter 5 and verse 24. You can note down the reference if you want to. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out from death into life. Has crossed over from death into life. The Jordan River, such a terrible obstruction of things that were going into the Dead Sea, God has enabled us to cross over in order to be able to have life. He enabled us to cross the death into life. We were not pushed away all through the dry ground, the road that they had to take. Nobody else took that. Even though some people crossed over, like Jacob and others, they crossed over. They must have swum there, swum through, or I don't know how they went through. Maybe it's not harvest time. But this particular occasion, unlike all the occasions that have happened in the past Jordan crossing, this particular Jordan crossing was a road never taken. There was no bridge that was built. The waters were parted and they went on the dry ground. The road that could be taken, my dear. There's a song which says, "And then one day I'll cross the river and fight life's final war with pain. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory and I'll know he reigns. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. And then one day I'll cross the river and fight life's final war with pain." God is enabling us to prepare ourselves to be able to have that wonderful experience with him. To be able to have that experience that would help us to know that the living God is among us. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. And that is what I hope you'll remember, these three: prepare, Passover, and possess. There are three more I just remembered last night when I was about to go to sleep, but God put some more thoughts in me saying that from his side, God's promise, God's presence, and God's power. God's promise that I'm going to let you take you into the promised land. That was a promise. And then his presence was there. The Ark of the Covenant of the Lord was there. That is number two. While we were passing by, the presence of the Lord was there with them. And then the power of God was there with them in order to be able to possess the land. The Jericho walls were defeated. They were thrown down. It is the power of God that enabled them to do that. Isn't it wonderful, my dear, that we are able to experience that? In the year 1998, 20 years ago, in the month of August, when I was coming to this country, I got an admission in a university in New Jersey at a university called Monmouth University. I don't know if you have heard about it. It wasn't very popular. I didn't know. I just got admission into that. And I got through, I got the I-20 and got the F-1 visa also. But I was not very sure as to whether, well, I don't know, I didn't receive any other I-20s. Should I go there, Lord? And there was so much of anxiety and all that. But my mom, I remember, she used to tell that there are other universities God will help you to be able to get. Her faith was honored as well. And what happened was, just a few days before I traveled from India to United States in August 1998, 20 years ago, it's been almost. Now, I got the I-20. It was a rainy week from Mumbai. They had to bring it over. My I-20 was fully drenched. It was to the university here in University of Maryland, College Park. And I got the I-20, but it was not so clear as well. So I wasn't sure what to do, but I still wanted to go to this particular university, having known about that. And my sister used to live very close in West Virginia. My aunt used to live in Springfield, Virginia. So I thought maybe that's a good place to go. So a lot of uncertainty, I got into the plane. I had to cross over from India to United States for the first time. The path I never taken before. I had to come. Throughout the journey, I had so many questions. Lord, what am I going to do there? I don't know. I don't know the university itself. I just got the admission, but I got the admission into this. But I get reminded of that one song. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide, hold me closely to his side. With love and strength from each new day, he will make a way, he will make a way. That was a song that really strengthened me. All through my journey, as I was passing over to United States, I came to New York as a port of entry because the university was in New Jersey. I went to the port, port of entry immigration officer, and I had to tell that I got an I-20. It wasn't clear much to him. And he said, "Oh, University of Maryland, give me the I-20. I'll stamp on that. You don't even need to go to Monmouth University and ask for a transfer. You can directly from here. You can go to Maryland." And that was a moment of time. It might sound, oh, now when I look back, I might think that okay, it just happened. Maybe the rules were fine. No, let me tell you, that was a moment throughout my journey. All through the journey, I was going through so much of pain, not heavy-heartedness, not knowing what my next steps were. God took me. He did a wonder in my life. I came to the University of Maryland. I've been here in Maryland since then. Never moved out of this state of Maryland. God had his plan in terms of being able to serve him in this area itself. And I'm able to be with you all. It's all because of him, because we serve a God of wonders beyond the galaxy. He has done wonders in my life when I think about it. It's not because of my faithfulness. It is because of who he is and what he has done in my life to cross over, to pass over from place to place. I just want to sing this one song, if you don't mind. I have this desire to sing this song, God Will Make a Way Where There Seems to Be No Way. If you know the song, please join with me. I don't know if you haven't practiced this song. Just this morning, the Lord made me to be able to say, okay, you've been experiencing this particular song in your life. Why don't you sing this in front of the congregation to tell that God will make a way where there seems to be no way? Join with me, brothers and sisters. Let us sing the song and trust in the Lord. The road never taken, he is with us.